Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and this hour drama, later on from Suspense from 1961, but first a very unique broadcast of the Radio Guild called The Towers of Hate. First heard on the NBC Blue Network on June 4th, 1939.
The Radio Guild presents The Towers of Hate by Albert N. Williams. The musical score and the songs were composed by Tom Bennett.
Listen, you listeners at home in the midst of your comforts, surrounded secure by suppers and breakfasts and sleeping on Sunday, listen, I want you to know how my life is lived without breakfasts, without sleeping in beds, without laughter, nor love, nor joy in the evening, nor joy in the morning. I want you to know that, for your time will come. Yes, you will live life without peace, without rest, but fear in the morning, despair in the evening. Hated and hunted and haunted you'll live. Yes, you, listener, no longer secure.
Adams, Allen, Andrews, Anthony, Armin, Atkins, Backus, Batten, Bergman, Blair, Blake, Lane.
They're reading
Bowman,
the names.
Brady.
And yours will
Brown,
be one.
Bryant,
for these are bad times
Brayder,
on man's
Gary,
world.
Carpenter,
the earth, in
Cameron,
parallel with stars,
Cooper,
draws
Ray,
figures of its
Ray,
fate upon the sun.
Daly,
and men
Delmar,
are nerveless for this
Dickens,
fantasy.
Donald,
they sleep restlessly Dryden, at nights
Saber,
and wake by fits
Allen,
and starts.
Benton,
and when they wake,
Morris,
they see
Dobbs,
Earth's distorted
Gary,
shadows on their hearts.
Brand,
men do
Brady,
not sleep at nights.
Brady,
and so they
Paul,
dream by
Agnes,
day,
Hartley,
where you
Dave,
and I Paul, had used to dream
Eric, Herndon,
inside the Foley, understanding dark.
Hudson, James, Jameson, Jansen, Jerome, Jergen, Jensen, Jennings, Johnson, Klein, Kramer, Layton, Lee.
They're naming your names, naming you each. And your time will come, O listeners, no longer secure. For the dreams that you dreamed as a child in the dark take shape in these days, take form and take flesh, and are born of the bodies of women to walk upon earth and speak with the tongue that you speak. These days are different. This is our time. And the world is reeling and tossing for hideous dreams. Dreams that are cast in the mold of a man. Listen, here is one of the hideous dreams that has taken the world by night and tossed it a-whirling into the bedlam of darkness.
I am hungry. Nature's vengeance on the man that nature made.
I am dead. I ride the swiftest, surest-footed horse of all.
I am pestilence. I am man's vengeance on himself.
War. I ride in season over earth.
The four horsemen ride as always. Man is born to die. That is all we know, and all we need to know of life. Dawn is but reflection of some other day, now gone on far behests, and in our breasts come back to earth again. For earth renews herself, and man is born of earth. And the horsemen riding in our dreams ride beside all mineral things, the hungering of youth, the war of bursting seed, the pestilence of age, then death. That is not evil. That is man. But the dream continued. There is a fifth horseman riding in the sky, for this is our time.
I am hatred!
You shall lead us!
I am hatred, master over hunger! I am hatred! I shall lead pestilence! Father to war! Sentencer of death! I am hatred! Leader of the horsemen in the sky!
That's the dream that has waked the world to madness. You think I'm scaring you, listener, with pictures distorted, frighting with fiction and searing the heart with a mask? No. That dream is cast in the mold of a man. Is a man like ourselves. Drops blood for a cut. Could be brother to man. Could be father to children and lover to women. I say it's a man like ourselves. The dream the earth dreams in our time. This dream of hatred and wrath and despair. Listener, one night I was sitting secure with my wife. Secure, listener, like yourself. The child slept, and the evening drew us inward from the whirling edge of day, and night was with us. It was night in every house, in every home, in every heart. That is the formula for peace, prosperity, and rest. That is the pattern that we weave our lives about, the child, the home, the mother, and the night. Listener, you spin your days in such a figure, and that form of knitted circumstance and hopes is good, is comforting and strong. It is a good life, and always has been good. That is why men cling to it for warmth. We always do. And then, when the child was sleeping, my wife turned to me and said, she turned to me and called me, dear.
Dear, you've been so restless lately. You've not been sleeping nights and you need sleep. You seem worried over something, something you can't tell about, something beyond telling. You act as if you're trying to hide it from yourself. I can feel it, dear. I know. You've changed so much this year. Changed for something in your heart you're frightened of.
Changed for something in my heart I'm frightened of. Yes, I feel earth change, and I am frightened of it. There is a mystic sympathy between the pulse of earth and beat of human heart, and I felt the rhythm of us all tighten up its measure, felt dissonance begin. I read of quiet killings here and there, and somber accidents.
I don't like what's going on in this town.
I read in the papers there's a new series of killings here this week.
Oh, I hear there's another unexplained bombing in the capital. A banker's house.
There's a group of young men meet every night in that building across the way. They're responsible, somehow, for this reign of terror that seems to have grown up. Why, when they meet, they talk
of... Shh! There's one of them now at the next table.
Well, this is a free country, isn't it? A man's got a right to express his likes and dislikes.
True enough. But you might become another one of those unexplained killings. It's happening more frequently nowadays. I'd be careful if I were you.
But I don't like their type. I don't like what they stand for. They're jealous and greedy and intolerant of any ideas except their own. They want the world and all that's in it for themselves.
Remember, they don't like us any more than we like them. But we're content to criticize. They kill. They're younger men. They're desperate. They have different ideas of life than we have and set a different value on death.
They set a different price on life. They were men born of a hungering earth, a crowded, thirsting, desperate world. They hungered for the strength to take, the strength to have, the strength to hold. They were jealous, these young men. Jealous of each crust, each coin they did not own. Jealous of each race, each state they were not of. Jealous. And the only feast for jealousy is hate.
I hate their stupid bourgeoisie way of living.
Their only interest in life is making money so that they can have a good time. They've no thought for the glory of the state that bore them. I hate them.
And for us, the new generation.
We must hate them. This country must grow, must be powerful. We must rule the world. We are the new nation, the new generation, the new rulers of the earth.
I hate the cheap books they read, the way they go to church every Sunday.
And to movie shows every Saturday night.
They should spend their money for the betterment of this nation, not of themselves.
This nation must be strong.
This nation will be strong. Strong through hatred. There will be a new world for us. For us, not them. Not them who ruined the world they inherited. We'll make it the way we want it.
There are others like us in other nations.
We'll join with them.
We must join together in this state first.
A dictatorship. Save this nation.
A dictatorship? We'll show these stupid householders what they were born for.
A dictatorship. Stay close to me and I'll show you a new world.
Hooray!
A world for men of our desire.
Dictatorship!
And it will be gotten by hatred.
Hooray!
You can't show these stupid people how to think.
Hooray!
You've got to drive them. Hate them. Drive them.
Where Jennings lives, number 27. Throw it.
There's a message he'll not soon forget.
Are you Noble?
Yes, my name is Noble.
Here is from the leader.
There, fool, let that warn you. Stop talking about us in public places.
Are you Leach?
Yes, I am Leach.
Printed an article in the paper against the party movement.
Yes, I did.
You condemned us and said that we were a cancer in the heart of the state.
Yes.
You'll write no more articles in your paper now.
Hunger, war, pestilence, and death. And I am hatred, leader of them all. Roll on, world. Roll into darkness. I hold the whip that spins the world around.
Hatred started it, and only death can end it. And hatred is the fullest feeling men can have, for hatred makes men heroes to themselves. Oh, it was not long before this hatred came to light, cast off its secrecy and walked by day, stopped meeting in dark curtained cellars, met by noon in village squares. Yes, hatred spread across the land. Oh, so much faster than a hope could spread. Words of hatred, symbols of our times, spread from bitter mouth to bitter mouth like November-blown taste of snow. And soon we all knew it. But it was too late, for hatred's fever gripped the roots of life. The tree struck by the blighting poison of our time shuddered in the biting wind, a sentinel of fear, her stripped branches evidence of night. Night out of reason, out of season. Night striking back at day and falling like a raven on our time. I had three friends, but one is dead. Leech is dead, but Jennings lived to heed this warning.
I got your message, your warning. I'll join your party, your youth party movement. I'll believe anything you want me to, and I can help you. I know several people who talk against you in public, who write pieces in the papers against you. I'll tell you all about them, what they said and where they lived. They were my friends, but now I hate them.
I had three friends, but one is dead. Leech is dead for fighting this disease that grew upon our country. Leech is dead, but Jennings lived to heed his warning. The fear, despair that gripped his heart turned into hatred. Betrayal needs a stronger heart than love and has no sense of shame. Leech is dead, and Jennings waits like Judas at my grave. But Noble came to me and said,
"You know what happened to Leech? Now Jennings has gone over to the other side. He hates us now, for he was afraid of them. They'll not kill him if he hates us, too. He gave our names as people that must be killed. I'm leaving for the border now. You'd better come with me and bring your wife and child, or you'll all be dead. I'm warning you because I know our time has come."
Our time had come. I was a criminal because I did not hate. The list of names was growing larger every day. The list of names of those who did not drink the cup of hate, who passed jealousy and greed aside as richer food than fits the guts of men. Let the stars fight battles in their courses. Let the planets spin their wings with death. That is chemistry, adhesion, and cohesion. And the stuff this universe is builded from is never lost, only takes new shape. But man is a special distillation of the elements that made the earth. Man is rare, a delicate display of the hidden force of life. And when men fight, there is no healing chemistry at work. They do not grow. They die. And earth is richer by a pinch of wasted flesh and blood that is forever lost. This was a list of names of those who did not want to die before their web of days was spun.
I am a man of science and should know that hatred such as this that grips us all is but a figment in our minds, like that that lights the eyes of men who bend their way towards suicide. I said that in a lecture, and they are hunting me. They will kill me if they find me.
I am a teacher. In my class one day, a 10-year boy held up a knife. To kill the enemies of our state, he said. I took his knife away and told him what I knew was true. For I am a teacher and I teach the truth to children. I said the only enemy of this nation was its own hatred. They're hunting me. They'll kill me if they find me.
My son lay down his books one night and said this was a different world and that the books were wrong. He was reading this: all men are brothers, and boundaries between nations should be burned. I said that it was true. I tried to warn him, for he was my son. Tried to warn him that the hatred that he was so proud of was the glaze of death upon the face of earth, the soul of man. He told them what I said. Now they're hunting me. They'll kill me if they find me.
I am a Jew. I was a cautious Jew. I said nothing to anybody. I did not walk the streets at night. I did nothing. Yet they'll kill me if they find me. They are hunting me by night and day.
I am cleaner, fuller-blooded than the leader of this nation. My blood is straight and strict, not sprung from tangent, careless roadside meetings. And I will keep it so. But men will love. And for a beautiful, wind-footed week, I buried my hungry heart in the mysterious, dark welcome of a lovely Jewish girl. Now I am strong again and hold my strength and stewardship for the land that bore me. But they're hunting me. They'll kill me if they find me.
I am a writer. I simply wrote what I saw happening. I said that all such fear, distrust, and hunting out stray specks of foreign blood would weaken our national heritage, would weaken our whole people. What I said was true. Ask any student of anthropology. It's true, but because I said it, they're hunting me. They'll kill me if they find me.
There is no God but God on high. I told my people this. I told them, however strong the state might be, that they must never pray to any but the living God. I told them they must never pray to gods of ancient myths, as the new laws tell them to. I told them this one great truth, and now they're hunting me. They'll kill me if they find me. I am a refugee from the nation of my birth.
They'll kill me if they find me.
They're hunting me. I wrote the truth.
It is an accident of life that puts us living, an accident of birth that seals our doom.
I am a figure out of ancient Greece. My own son leads the chase against my life.
I am a teacher. Now I am a refugee.
I am a man of science, fleeing for the truth.
And the hills above home where I feasted are towers of hatred and death.
I am hatred, and here another wasted tide will wash the dreams of man aside.
Around my head, the cape of ages molders. I did not try to break the sky. I bent my shoulders. I bent my shoulders, and I fled the land that bore me, hate and fear pursuing, hope of peace before me.
Shine, evening star, to light my baby sleep. Oh, God, let the evening star shine always. Shine on forever. And sleep, sleep, my baby, deep in the land for you.
My son, you were all the hopes I had, as any father has. Now earth will be the richer for them.
We can't cross this border.
We have no place to go. They'll kill us if we go back there.
And I'll be killed if I let you enter this country. Go back down the road you came from.
The government of this nation is responsible to its own people for their safety and their health. In view of the terrible injustice to which you've been subjected, we will kindly allow you to rest in our protection for a period of 10 days... at the end of which time you must leave. There will be no room for you here.
Where are we now, dear?
On an island in the middle of the river.
Take me home, dear. Please take me home. I'm sick and I'm cold.
There is no home for us, my dear. For we are refugees. Here, this will make you warmer.
It's getting lighter now. And warmer.
Oh, it's not. The wind is blowing colder. And the night is darker for the falling snow against the stars.
We've been through a lot together, dear. But now I know we're getting near home.
Hold this closer to you. You're cold.
Thank God. I'm home. Home.
Oh, my dearest. I can see the evening in your eyes. Oh, you shall not die. There is no death so large that it can hold your spirit after flight. Only the wind is larger than my love. Only the earth can hold you closer. Calling the names.
Tony.
The names of those who must die for hatred's sake.
Jansen.
Listener.
Jackson.
They're calling your name.
Jansen.
Yours will be soon.
Johnson.
For the world is broiling in jealousy, seething with hate. Listener at home, in the midst of your comforts, take hand against hatred. Wake reason. She's sleeping. This world is for men, not hideous dreams that walk on the face of earth in the form of a man. Listener, when you see hatred in men's eyes, shine light of reason in them. And when you find hatred in men's hearts, bend heaven to help you and cleanse the world of anger and despair. Wake reason! She's sleeping, oh listener, no longer secure.
Towers of Hatred was written and produced by Albert N. Williams. The musical score was composed by Tom Bennett. It was conducted by Joseph Stopak. The narrator was Arnold Moss. This was a Radio Guild presentation. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The Radio Guild, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 4th of June, 1939, on the NBC Blue Network. One Albert N. Williams wrote the story, and from what is on record from radio's yesteryear, he had an illustrious, albeit brief, contribution to the prestige radio program Great Plays, which he produced and directed in the later 1930s for NBC, including translating and adapting a French play written in 1637 called Le Cid. For the Radio Guild, he penned a play in verse called American Song, which personified the rivers of the country in his imaginative work. And about 10 years after that, in 1951, he released a book on the subject called The Water and the Power, about the development of the five great rivers of the West. You're listening to an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for suspense with the story Night of the Storm, a CBS episode from July 2nd, 1961.
Another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. Within minutes, he was to die for murder. Yet three people knew of his innocence. In a moment, Act One of Night of the Storm, written for Suspense by Peter Fernandez.
Well? Did you make the appeal?
I did my best, Jim, but the governor turned me down.
I see. Then there's no other chance? No hope at all?
Well, as the governor pointed out, if we can come up with any new evidence, any new facts...
New evidence? Facts? If I knew anything, don't you think I would have told you long ago, even before the trial? I didn't kill my uncle. I hadn't seen him in years.
You know all that, Jim, but we haven't been able to prove it. The district attorney could prove that you killed him.
I didn't. Right up to the second they strap me in the chair tomorrow night and turn on the juice, I'm going to keep on swearing.
Of course you are, Jim. Now,
but
listen.
You, my lawyer, you don't believe me either. You just pretend. That's what you're paid for. That's what you're doing.
Now, listen to me, Jim.
The only one who's ever believed in me is Emily. And what's going to happen to her after tomorrow when I'm dead? What's going to happen to Emily?
Calm down, Jim. This isn't doing any good.
I didn't kill my uncle. I didn't. I didn't. I didn't.
He didn't. He didn't kill Uncle Corey. You know that as well as I do, Steve.
Jim needed money, didn't he?
He never killed for it.
He needed it desperately. And as well, Uncle Corey was leaving everything to Jim. He had reason enough.
I've said it 1,000 times already. Jim couldn't have done it. I know him so well. Why, if there was even a bug in the house, he'd take it outside and then let it go rather than kill it.
But look, Emily. Emily, sooner or later, we've got to start facing the fact that there isn't a shred of evidence to prove that he wasn't the killer.
Steve, do you mean you never believed him either? You, his own brother?
Oh, come on, Em. I wanted to believe him. You know that.
Did you? Did you really want to, Steve?
Yeah, sure. What do you think? Why are you looking at me like that?
You know, I just realized you could have been pretending all this time, couldn't you?
Huh?
Pretending. But the last thing you want is to have Jim executed tomorrow night. Well, all along...
Oh, come off it, will you?
Steve, when and if Jim dies, you get that money, don't you?
Jim, I don't know. I hadn't thought about it.
Oh, I'm sure you must know that will by heart. What does it say now? Everything is left to Jim, but in the event of Jim's death, then, Steve, you become the rightful heir. Isn't that the way the will reads, isn't it?
Listen to me, Emily.
$48,000! Why, you'll become a rich man if your brother dies.
I just wanted to stop by and comfort you tonight. Had an idea you'd be pretty broken up, but I don't have to listen to that kind of talk. Not even from you. Good night.
Hello.
Steve, I thought you'd be home by now. Look, just before you left, you gave me an idea. Tell me, I've forgotten. What was the name of that woman you were with the night Uncle Corey was killed?
What do you want to know that?
Please, what's her name?
Good night, Emily.
Look, in the morning I can look it up in the court records. You might as well tell me.
But I broke off with her. I don't see her anymore.
If I can find her, I'm going to have a talk with her, Steve.
You keep away from her.
Why? Why? You must have a reason. Tell me.
She might have moved out of town.
Are you afraid of me seeing her?
No, of course not. Jim killed Uncle Corey. It was proved in the court. There's nothing you, me, or anybody else can do to save him from going to the chair for it.
Steve, if something can be done to save my husband, who happens to be your brother, don't you want me to try?
You haven't a chance.
Her name, Steve. What is the name of the woman who gave you such a good alibi?
Stay away from her.
I see. So that's the attitude you're taking now. All right. I'll have to find out for myself.
Good night, Emily.
I'll get her name and address from the court records. Good night.
Yeah, who's there?
I'd like to talk to you, Miss Mallard.
I ain't opening this door for nobody, so beat it.
But I'm Jim Russell's wife. I've got to see you.
His wife?
Yes.
Got anybody with you?
No, no, I'm alone. Please.
Just a minute.
Thank you.
Now, look, sister, I know all about your husband getting the chair tonight, and I'm real sorry, see, but there's nothing I can do for you.
Look, I got the idea from Steve that maybe if I had a talk
Steve?
With you... You're trying to tell me that Steve sent you over here?
Look, honey, don't hand me that, because I know better.
What do you mean?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Just go away and leave me alone.
No, wait! Hey, don't shut the door!
What do you think you're doing?
You're keeping something from me. I know it. You and Steve, the two of you.
What are you thinking? That I had something to do with killing that old guy?
No. But I think you might have lied to the police about the night he was killed.
And what if I did? It's too late now, and I ain't never going to change my story.
You'd rather see an innocent man die?
Now, listen, if I change my story now, if I change what I said in court, they'll send me up on a perjury rap. I ain't going to jail no matter what.
And it's true, isn't it? Steve wasn't with you the night Uncle Corey was killed. Steve was the one who did it, not Jim.
No, I ain't saying. Now, beat it, will you?
Please, please, you've got to change your story and tell the truth. You've got to save my husband.
Look, I don't gotta do nothing. Now, get out of here.
Mr. Rutland, at last, thank goodness.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Russell.
Mr. Rutland, I've been waiting here in your office for almost 2 hours.
Oh, it's that storm out there. The highways are flooded.
I know.
My car stalled when the ignition got wet. Well, anyway, I'm here, but I'm sorry to say that the news I've brought from upstate isn't good. Mrs. Russell, there'll be no reprieve tonight for Jim.
Yes, there will. Hmm? They've got to give him a reprieve now. And even, well, as soon as they know the truth, a full pardon.
What are you talking about?
Last night, Steve, you know Jim's brother, Steve.
Yes, yes.
Mr. Rutland, he just about admitted to me that he was the one who killed Uncle Corey.
What? Well, now, Mrs.
Don't
Russell.
Don't you see? If Jim dies, then Steve gets all that money. He planned to kill Uncle Corey and then have Jim die for the murder. It's the way that will read, that in the event of Jim's death, then Steve...
I'm sorry, Mrs. Russell, but that isn't proof.
Yes, it is.
Now, it's only a possible motive. One that I know the police considered a long time ago.
Mr. Rutland...
Your husband's hunting knife was used in the murder.
I know.
His prints were on it,
yes.
Whether planted or not.
Yes.
And your husband didn't have an alibi for that night, but Steve did. An airtight alibi.
Will you please listen? She lied. That woman, Muriel Mallard, went into court and lied that Steve was with her that night.
Perjury? Well, possibly, but I doubt it. She had no reason to.
Part of that money would be good reason, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, it would, but...
I saw her this morning. She wouldn't deny that she lied.
But I'm sure that she wouldn't admit it either.
Well,
Would she?
No.
What do you think we can do, Mrs. Russell?
Mr. Button, I think that I can...
It's 2:45 now. Let's see, they're on standard time up at the Capitol.
Standard time?
Now, that means in 7 hours, it'll be all over.
7 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Rutland, will you help me?
Well, of course, but you'll have to tell me how.
Stay right here in your office. Wait for me to phone you so that you can get in touch with the governor.
Very well, I'll be here.
Oh, thank you.
Mrs. Russell, I know how you feel. There's hardly a loved one of a condemned man who doesn't feel that he might be innocent. You've got to be prepared to accept the fact that the weight of evidence was against him, that he was proved guilty. Why, even I, as his defense attorney, now believe that justice will be done.
Justice? When he isn't guilty? I'll never believe he is, never. And now, after what I just heard, I'm going to try until the last possible second to save my husband.
Cat's struck in out of the rain.
Muriel, listen, I've got to talk to you.
Go away. I told you once today to beat it.
I'm not going to beat it. It's taken me all afternoon to find you again, and I'm not going to leave until I know it's too late and my husband is dead.
Well, you don't have long to wait, do you, huh? Well, that clock up there says 8.
It's 8 here, but up in the...
There's 1 hour. That's all. And then you're a free woman, right?
Right.
Hey, Mac!
What do you want, Muriel?
Give my friend here one of these.
No, I'm
fine.
No,
and
I don't
another
want
one for me. Come on,
no,
honey. Sit down. And take off that coat. You're sopping wet. What? Take off your coat.
All right, I will.
It's going to be a long night.
No, maybe not. It'll depend on you, Muriel. And if you'll help me.
Help you? Listen, sister, in my league, nobody helps anybody.
Here's your booze, girl.
Oh, thank you, Mac, very much. Come on, honey, drink up, huh? You'll be surprised how fast the time's gonna pass. Go ahead. Drink it.
Yes. Yes, all right.
Thank you. Well, cheers. listen to that storm out there, huh? Oh, what a night. What a night to go to the chair.
Muriel! Muriel! Look at that clock, will you?
Hmm?
Over there.
Oh, yeah. 9. Just not... Oh.
Muriel, do you realize what is happening to my husband right this minute?
Yeah. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. I'm real sorry.
Sorry isn't going to bring him back.
No, I know.
Why didn't you tell the truth? You weren't with Steve that night. Why didn't you tell the truth?
Well, why should I have? But now, what difference does it make? Might as well tell you the truth now. See, Steve and me broke up a long time ago. I was with Fred Baines that night.
Who?
Freddie Baines, you know, owns the auto parts company.
Auto parts.
I guess you don't know Freddie, no. But that's where I was. That's who I was really
with.
Why
didn't you lie, Muriel?
Listen, sister, all my life I never seen more than a couple hundred bucks at one time. And now? Oh, boy, now that's all over. I'm going to see 10,000. Imagine, 10 G's off of me. Hey, where are you going?
Fred Baines. He's the one who can tell the police that you weren't with Steve that night.
You?
I can call my lawyer now and have him get a reprieve for Jim.
Hey, honey, you might as well stay and have another drink. It's too late to do anything now. Your husband's dead. That's all over with.
It's 9 o'clock here. But upstate, they're on standard time. Up there, he won't die for an hour.
Oh, yeah, that little... ain't gonna do her no good. She can't prove nothing.
Hi, Muriel. Thought I'd find you here.
See? She's in there. I told her about me and Fred. I didn't know.
Hang up that phone, Emily.
No. No. I can get the proof now that Jim isn't the killer. And I can prove that you were the one, Steve.
Guns in my pocket. Aim right at your head, Emily. Hang up that phone.
No, Steve.
Hang it up.
No.
I've been following you all afternoon, just waiting to see if you make a move like this. Well, it didn't do you any good. Just kept your nose out of this. Well, I got my car parked right outside of the curb, so come on.
What are you going to do?
What do you think I'm going to do now you know about Muriel being with Fred? Won't this be a coincidence? You and Jim dying on the same night. Move, Emily, or I'll kill you right here.
Me.
Somewhere along the river. This rain, it's so swollen, away, he'll think twice about finding this car out in deep water with you in it.
Let me out, Steve.
I'll pull this trigger right now. I'm warning you, Emily.
Oh, that doesn't scare me. Not when you're going to kill me anyway. Stop this car and let me out.
Don't be a jerk. Don't you think I know you'll go straight to the car?
I said stop this car!
Hey, let go of the wheel!
No.
What are you doing?
No.
Risk it!
Let me out. Now, get this door open. There.
The gun. Where's that gun? Emily. Emily, come back here. Don't leave me pinned under the steering wheel like this. Emily. Emily.
It's 25 to 9 up there. 25 minutes. Oh, a phone. I've got to get to a phone. Come on, isn't anyone home? Please. Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah?
Please, there's been an accident down that way. May I use your phone?
An accident, eh? Anybody hurt?
I don't know for certain. Please, I've just got to get to
a phone. It can't be too bad if you don't even...
Please, I've got to make a phone call.
Well, I understand that, but you could have seen for yourself if you looked up at the wire coming into this house. Just electric. I ain't got no phone.
No phone?
That's what I said.
What am I going to do? I've only got 20 minutes.
Huh?
I've got to get to a telephone.
I see.
Please.
Well, can you make out that clump of trees up the road there?
Yes.
Well, just the other side. There's a bend in the road, yes. And then a gas station. They got a booth right out near the pump.
Thank you.
You're getting all soaked. I'll lend you my umbrella.
Here it is. Oh, no. I thought I got a dime. Oh, no. My purse is back in the car. please.
Yes, ma'am. What can I do for you?
A dime. I've got to have a dime.
What would you like? Change for a quarter?
No, I left my purse back in the car. Give me a dime. Please, will you give me a dime?
Just like that, huh?
Please, my husband is going to die in 10 minutes. Unless I make a phone call.
Well, take it
please.
Easy, will you, ma'am?
Please, just lend me a dime, then I'll pay you back later, please.
Well, sure, ma'am.
Please, hurry.
Coming right up, ma'am.
Hurry,
coming right
please.
Up.
Please.
Here you are. One dime.
Eight minutes. What's the number? What's the number? I can't remember. Oh, look it up. Rutland attorney. Oh, here it is. B-B-B-Way 5098. Oh, now. B-U-A 5098. Answer. 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 Oh, he said he'd be there. He said he'd wait.
Hello?
Oh, Mr. Rutland. This is Emily Russell. They've got to stop the execution.
Well, you know they can't stop it, Mrs. Russell, unless we've got definite proof that he's innocent.
Mr. Rutland, we will be able to prove it.
What?
We will be able to prove that Muriel wasn't with Steve that night.
Well, the facts, Mrs. Russell. The facts. That's what they're waiting for. They'll grant a stay to investigate, but what can we give them to go on?
Muriel was with the Fred Baines that night. When I found out Steve tried to kill me, hurry, Mr. Rutland, hurry, please.
What's the number of the phone you're talking about?
Academy 23099.
All right, I'll call you right back just as soon as I've spoken to the governor.
Well, then I'll wait here. I've got to know if Jim is safe.
I understand. Hang up now, Mrs. Russell.
Yes, of course. 6 minutes. 6 minutes? He's got to be in time. Yes?
It's Rutland, Mrs. Russell. I'm sorry to say that I couldn't get through to the governor.
You couldn't?
Well,
no.
With this storm, the wires at the Capitol are down. There isn't one open line.
No, no,
But Mrs. Russell, didn't you hear what I said? All the lines are down. I spoke to the power company, and the electric wires are down, too. Don't you see, Mrs. Russell, there's no power at all up there.
Then Jim wasn't executed?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, thank God.
Well, there's nothing more for you to worry about, Mrs. Russell. By the time the power is restored, the authorities will have the whole story, and they can start checking it out.
And they'll find that Jim is innocent. Just as I always knew he was.
Suspense. You've been listening to Night of the Storm, written for Suspense by Peter Fernandez. In a moment, the names of our players and a word about next week's story of Suspense. Hot, tired, thirsty.
Easy as one, two, three. You've made iced tea, and oh, what a beautiful flavor. Oh, what a beautiful flavor in new Instant Tenderleaf tea.
Just take a spoonful of Instant Tenderleaf.
One.
Add cold tap water.
Two.
Load it with ice.
Three.
You've made iced tea. New Instant Tenderleaf is 100% pure tea. Richer, brighter, livelier tea. It's made right from the juices of ripe young tea leaves. Instant Tenderleaf brand. Make a pitcher full.
Easy as one, two, three. You've made iced tea, and oh, what a beautiful flavor in new Instant Tenderleaf tea.
Featured in tonight's story of suspense was Rosemary Rice as Emily. Also in our cast were Alan Manson as Steve, Ralph Camargo as Rutland, Terry Keane as Muriel, James Stevens as Jim, and Lawson Zerbe as Parker. Musical supervision by Ethel Huber. Suspense is produced and directed by Bruno Zerato Jr. Listen again next week when we return with Epitaph, written by Walter Black. Another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. Tomorrow, if you're tuned to your favorite CBS radio network station, this is what you'll hear. Arthur Godfrey Time, presided over by singer Richard Hayes, who's pinch-hitting for the old redhead. The Gary Moore Radio Show, starring one Garrison Morfitt and his sidekick Durwood Kirby in lots of lively talk. Art Linkletter's House Party, with fun for all the guests, including you, and highlighting Art's inimitable children's interviews. And finally, the Bing Crosby-Rosemary Clooney Show, presenting two great singers bringing song and friendly banter. All here, all available, Monday through Friday at this dial address. The latest news every hour, on the hour, every weekday on the CBS Radio Network.
Suspense, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 2nd of July, 1961 on CBS. Bringing the curtain down on this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.